Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Going Long with Joe and Paul. This week they take a look at the early next week pattern and its impacts, a change in the weekend of the 16th and 17th, and a look at the rest of the month of April. Now, here they are, meteorologist Paul Pastelak and Joe Lundberg.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition Going Long with Joe and Paul. And, you know, it's been pretty busy again. We get into this transition time period, Joe, and you still got a little bit of everything going on. And we have a lot of severe weather. It's not a little bit, but a lot of severe weather that's been kind of holding us back and keeping us, busy over the last couple of weeks. And some really bad, you know, areas getting hit. And, but we still even got snow on the table, Joe. And it just, when you have all that stuff, it just makes things a lot busier during this time of the year. Right, Joe?
It does. I mean, this is the third week in a row we've had severe weather across the southern tier of states, really from Texas all the way to the southeast, Georgia and the Carolinas. I do think that once we get through Thursday, that there will at least be a break. And how long that break is going to be, I don't know. I suspect that there's going to be another big ticket item next week, although that one may be centered farther north and west than what we've seen in recent weeks. But, you know, but the same token, this, with that volatility, like you said, there's still snow on the table on the northwest side of that storm next week.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if there's, it will be farther north, the center of it, but it still will extend in areas that have been hit already kind of hard. Like,
oh, I agree.
Texas, Louisiana, even northwest Mississippi, maybe under the gun. It just, it looks like it's going to expand the severe weather. And like you just said, Joe, there's another area to watch of snow. I mean, it's going to be out of the Eastern Rockies and lifting out into the plain states, even the lower elevations getting into the act on this one, Joe.
Yeah. And then you said something yesterday. I don't want to say it was provocative, but you know, it was eye-catching when I saw it. And it made me do a little bit of digging, you know, in our group chat. You know, you put out something there to our team, you know, about watch out after Easter, that, you know, there's some indications that there's a storm sometime near Easter weekend or just after that, you know, was probably rain for most of the east, but maybe some interior elevation snows and a cold shot that follows that. And I was like, oh my gosh, is it ever going to end?
Well, I did that a little bit too, just to make sure they knew that I was working hard and looking. No, I'm just kidding. yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, you look at the European weeklies came out Monday night. Mm-hmm. And I even before that, it just felt like the pattern was so amplified that you would get, and this typically happens, it's like you get 3 days or 4 days of bad weather in any particular area. Then you get 3 or 4 days of good weather where it warms up, which we have coming later next week for the East. But you know it's going to be followed by some downturn, especially this time of the year. We're not in June, July, and August. It just seems like it's going to flip the other way. So I said, well, that just times out that just after Easter, it's going to go downhill again. And then the European weeklies came in and showed a snow area, snow depth, 7-day departures. Now, granted, we see good things and bad things out of that model when it comes to snow prediction, but it just seems like, I'm like, that shows that, then the ensemble showing it, everything was just coming in. I said, I got to write something on this now. It's like, it does look like the writing's almost on the wall here that we got some nasty stuff coming after Easter in the eastern U.S.
You bring up an interesting point, though. I was just thinking about it as you were talking about this, you know, the volatility, some extremes in the weather pattern. And if you look at where we are, we're in the early part of spring, and in April, you know, you still have a pretty strong jet stream flowing across the country. Mm-hmm. As we get deeper into spring and we get into May and June, you know, you're starting to get closer and closer to, you know, the full retreat of the jet stream to the north, and you get the summer ridges to take over, and it's just, you know, warm as a way it should be. But that transition is often cutoff season. So we're seeing kind of almost like a hint of that to come with some of these big upper level storms rolling through. And, you know, there's another one that's, you know, now over the northern plains and upper Midwest, and that's going to be rolling southeastern and bringing with it another slot of cold air. So you have to wonder going forward if, even as we get out of April and go into May, you're still going to see some of these cutoff lows developing as the jet stream kind of retreats a little bit. There's still going to be some areas of kind of cloudy, cool, or unsettled weather as we go forward into the first half of May.
Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing is if we're seeing this much action farther south in this lingering La Nina, which is just taking its sweet old time on dissipating, what's to stop it as the normal seasonal change takes place and starts to lift northward, that we should see more action like this in parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, heading into the late spring, early summertime period as well. I mean, we should see more action. And the modeling has indicated that it's not dry in the east. It's not, you know, big ridge taken over. There's none of that coming to the east as we head into the early, you know, late spring, early summer. So this pattern will continue to roll on, just looking a little different on who gets hit, I think, as the next couple of months go on.
Well, part of what you talked about in that post yesterday to our group, you know, you're talking about, you know, one of the analog packages, and I believe it was 2012, correct?
Yes, right.
You know, so and you mentioned April 20, I think it was like 20 to 22 of 2012, where there was measurable snow in parts of northern and western PA. And I looked at some of the, you know, the departures from normal in terms of precipitation for the month that followed in May of 2012, and it was very wet. So that's in keeping with, you know, what you're talking about, that there's still areas of wetness as we go deeper and deeper into the spring season. And a lot of that's still in the east. It'd be nice if we could transfer some of that westward, where it's just bone dry in Texas and the Western Plains and Eastern Rockies right now. But, yeah. You know, it looks like the haves continue to have, and a lot of the have nots continue to have not, unfortunately.
Yeah, they have 4 inches in Dubois, 9 inches in Bradford from a snowstorm snow event that took place over a couple days period. I think it was more of an up. I didn't look back exactly what it looked like, but I think it was an upper level low. And they got hit in those areas. And I was kidding around at baseball practice yesterday with the coaches. And they're like, yeah, it looks like it's going to rain next week again. I said, yeah, we've been saying that every week, you know. And I said, but the bigger news story is that, hey, this can go on for the next couple of months. You can't see that far out in advance. I said, no, I don't have to see exactly the right day. I just know that every week we're going to be talking about a couple of events that are just going to plague and disrupt, you know, afternoon outside plans. So,
yeah, I'm hoping that this is not a repeat of 2021 where I was cutting grass every 5 or 6 days. I don't want that again this year.
5 or 6 days. It might be 4 or 5 days the way it's looking right now. I mean, it's just, I mean, this looks like it's going to be a heavy growing season. And I know that Al Ruper, who works with me on the pollen forecast, and he has eastern areas weeds high growing, weed pollen high, because of the fact there's going to be so much growth, he feels, throughout the summer months because of all the wetness coming in the early part. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. In fact, I was just talking with one of my clients early this morning, like saying, you know, we're getting the rain today. We're going to get rain again on Thursday with the second system coming on through. And then next week, we're going to see a big warm up. I mean, stuff is ready to bust out all over the place. I mean, you can see the buds popping, the leaves trying to come out. The grass is turning green. It's starting to grow. Wait, after all of this rain and what happens next week with several days of warm weather, it's going to go absolutely nuts in the eastern half of the country.
Yeah, if you haven't got your mower ready yet, you want to try and do that this weekend, because I'm telling you, like Joe just said, things are just going to go really fast. It's going to get high. It's going to get thick. And you're going to be cutting lawn very soon here. So make sure you got your mowers ready and your weed whackers going.
I'm figuring out which day, you know, Sunday, Monday or Tuesday is going to be the day that I'm going to be cutting grass. But I know it's one of those three. It's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be busy. Meanwhile, let's talk a little bit about the West. You know, they going in. We got a big, we're dry right now and we've been dry and they're just desperate to get some rain. In fact, it's going to be pretty hot. Right, Joe? I mean, they're going to see some really hot temperatures in the deserts and the valleys. Are you seeing 100 degree heat, or is it that
certainly 90s? You know, I don't know if it gets down into LA, but certainly the desert Southwest is going to be looking at that kind of heat. And I know South Texas has got a shot of it today ahead of a cold front. They cool off for a few days. But I think they're back in the 90s and maybe up to San Antonio, but certainly south of there, you know, for 3 days next week ahead of the big ticket item for the middle of next week. So they'll cool off toward the end of next week and Easter weekend. But we need to get rain somehow into the southwest or west. And it does look like there's a system that tries to bring some rain. At least some of the computer forecasts are forecasting that in the, I guess, Tuesday timeframe of next week, Monday night or Tuesday, maybe.
That's correct. And it's trended a little wetter than it was what it looked like earlier this week. So that's a good sign. But again, this is just a faster moving event. It doesn't look like it's going to stick around. It's a dramatic change in temperature. Don't get us wrong. I mean, it's a huge change. But as far as precip goes, because it's got a little bit more of a inside cutter look, not totally, but a little bit more inside cutter look, there's just not enough moisture to be pulled and dragged in from the Pacific on this one. So unfortunately, it's more of a temperature change for a few days. And, we just continue to bring these big swings, not just in the plains or the east, but also occurring in the west, Joe.
Yeah. And, they're going to go from warm to cool, actually pretty cold. There'll be some snow in the mountains, I think, for a couple of days with this. And then it will warm up again. I don't know how warm it gets on the backside of it as we go to Easter weekend and beyond, but it does look like some sort of ridging tries to reestablish itself there, which would make sense if the idea that you're talking about, that around or sometime after Easter, some sort of trough comes into or through the east, that would make sense. The teleconnections would say, you put that ridge back in the western part of the country somewhere.
Right. And there may be it might be a step down process, like over the Easter weekend. We get warm ahead of the Easter weekend, and then over the Easter weekend, it's not mild anymore, but it's not really chilly. It's kind of in between. And then right after that, there's another storm. And I think that brings in a little bit more significant chill going into the week after Easter, at least the first part looks unsettled. Now, originally there was a big storm. Now they're kind of split. We have a southern and northern branch jet. I don't like seeing that. I'm a little nervous that this could come together and somewhere in the northeast could get a little interesting here just after Easter. And that's why we keep honing on that idea that it could be some storm changing thing going on here the week after Easter.
Yeah. And again, the computer forecasts are kind of all over the place with it, but they're at least sniffing out the idea that, okay, we've got troughiness trying to come through there. You got to figure that this is going to happen with some sort of storm. It's just a matter of how the pieces are all going to fit together. And, 10 to 15 days out, trying to see exactly how that's going to work out is hard. But, the pieces are there. So you at least have to say, hey, be on the lookout for this. Maybe in the Adirondacks and the Catskills, don't put those snow shovels away just yet.
Well, we did get a new package of the European weeklies on Monday night, and then the European seasonals that go all the way out to early fall came out this week and updated, and we can kind of talk about it. I already mentioned about the weeklies showing at the week ending the 24th, the 7 day had above normal snowfall shown over Pennsylvania, New York State, kind of indicating at that storm we just talked about. But also in addition to that, a lot of dry weather in the middle of the country on the European weeklies. Interesting look as far as the precipitation anomaly does the week after Easter. It has very dry conditions from Kansas City to Dallas, Joe. So I wonder if this is kind of the beginning of how it's going to be tough to get development of storms back into the central plains now, and maybe even some of the eastern plains at times. I mean, maybe there'll be some flirts where things get back in, but seeing that or starting to see things starting to dry out again.
Well, you have to wonder whether the storm next week is really kind of the impetus to change to dry out that part of the country, because they've been getting hit with some storms. So they've been fortunate up to this point of time. So if this flip to drier is at all to be believed, you have to wonder whether, that's a byproduct of just how very dry it is to the west and southwest. Like I said, central west, from the Texas Hill Country, Permian Basin on west, it's just dry. It's just dry all the way to the southwest. And we, you know, you have, we've seen this before where these areas that are persistently dry, as you get into spring and when you start really heating things up, you start to have a feedback mechanism where the computer forecast are having trouble catching up with, you know, how dry it's getting, and you get an extra couple of degrees out of it, and it's a feedback loop. And then sometimes those areas expand. I remember this happening in 1988, big drought in the middle part of the country, just kept expanding farther and farther east as we got into May and into June. And there were some incredible stretches of hot weather that summer. So you have to wonder whether we're starting to see that being shown here in the by the European weeklies for week three.
Oh, I hope not. I
hope not either, but
I don't want, you know, that. Yeah.
You know, you're suggesting that some of that may be trying to take place.
Yeah, because prices are so high right now for corn and wheat, and more stress because of the weather would just really, really hurt the consumer right now. It's just, I hope that does not happen. And again, I am concerned, like you are, about that expansion. I just don't know if it's early or mid-season. If it's early, we're in trouble. If it's mid-season, it'll be stress, but it may cause less damage and clouder damage, and then starting that early. So,
interesting.
One other note too, Joe, is I'm not sure if I believe this, but we'll get it on record so that we can come back and address this in another podcast. week four of the European weekly is the end of April, the last week. It shows the whole country from west to east, at least above normal, some places much above normal temperature wise.
It does.
And I'm not sure if that's right, but that is a significant change because of the ups and downs that we're seeing here now and over the next couple of weeks. And here we're seeing something that shows me that the pattern is, let's slow it down just a little bit. Let's not rush things anymore. You know?
Well, there's still a lot of cold air to be rid of Canada. I mean, we've temporarily emptied it out, but it looks like it builds again, you know, starting this weekend and into next week. And I just don't know whether it can go away that fast,
right.
So that the end of the month is above normal across the entire country. We'll see.
That,
I mean, maybe
way too optimistic. Looks way too optimistic on this model.
I could believe it from the Mississippi Valley westward by and large, but I guess I have a hard time seeing it all the way to the east, but we'll see.
Do you hear me okay, Joe?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Cause something was breaking up there. I apologize. I was hearing bits of you coming in. I think you talked about the west of the Mississippi Valley.
Yeah, I can see how that to me kind of makes more sense for it to be warm there. I'm not as convinced in the east that there's sustainable warmth just yet. I still think that we're kind of back and forth, and it may be closer to normal there.
Okay, good. Yeah, I agree. I think that's the way to aim right now. I think we got to worry still about the Great Lakes. The waters are cool. They're chillier. They're not as warm as they used to be. And
which is a turnaround from what most of the fall and winter.
Yeah, and in the upper Great Lakes, I mean, they still got a lot of snow on the ground just northwest of Superior up there. They got
and there's still going to be some snow to fall in the next week.
So yeah, they got a lot of snow on the ground up there. Looking at the monthlies, the seasonals, heading out, a couple things that I noticed, Joe, is that the negative PDO, the cooler water that's set up off the west coast and western coast of Canada and then kind of jets back to the Gulf of Alaska, should still have some influence in bringing some systems in late in the wet season in May and maybe as far into June for the Pacific Northwest, Joe. I don't know how significant they will be, but it still shows that kind of look to it. And that stuff may come over top and kind of come down into the Midwest and Great Lakes and Ohio Valley as maybe some complexes from time to time if we can get the dew points to come up all the way that north, on which I think it will.
So I think it will, because if you look at the sea surface temperature anomalies in the Gulf of Mexico and the Southwest Atlantic, they're generally positive as we go into the start of the summer season. So it would suggest that you just need a good enough southerly wind to blow and you can get that high dew point air to get all the way up there.
Right. And looking at the the precip maps, you have to take a grain of salt a little bit. Sometimes it's a little difficult to forecast the far out in advance because it's convective season. But it does show that July, a little more active in the North American monsoon in the Four Corners region, and then kind of backs off a little bit in August. So it may be an early kind of bigger start in July, and then we'll have to see how it goes going farther down the road. Because keep in mind, we may not have a very strong upper high just yet building over the in you know South Central Plains and those places because of the late surge of moisture, but we do have a long-term drought. So the question mark is if you can get a building high early in the summer to build really fast and then set up over the Great Plains, you could have a really good monsoon setup. The question mark is does the late season moisture that we saw in the Four Corners region hold that back a little bit, or does that go away really quick and really doesn't make a difference? That's the question.
The flip side of that, though, that upper level ridge could also be the impetus to dry things out in the Midwest, which is what you were hinting at, you know, in some of the European, some of the seasonal forecasts that you've been looking at of late.
Yeah, I think the risk of this forecast right now is the strength of the upper level high. Is it the same as last year, or is it different? You know what I mean? Is it less stressed? The strength is weaker, and that we don't have a consistent push of the dry and high heat into the Midwest states from time to time. There's more systems that come over top and knock it down.
I hope that's the case.
Yeah, I mean that's the big thing right now we're trying to work on. So,
but you know, I'm just looking at what the European weeklies or monthlies or the seasonal forecast is suggesting, and it suggests that it may be fairly strong, but. Again, you take these forecasts with a grain of salt. You really look more at the tendencies, the trends of them, and see how the trends are playing.
And if that's correct, say it does push into the Midwest, where's the wet area?
Mm-hmm.
The East Coast.
Yeah. Yes, it is. That's right. And the monthlies are suggesting that, you know, Gulf Coast and the Eastern Seaboard, where water temperature anomalies are above normal.
Yes. And so, unfortunately,
then you have to start thinking tropical stuff.
And now you guys know where I'm coming from when I told all the baseball coaches that over the next 4 or 5 months, we could have a lot of wet weather. And they're like, but listen, I mean, it can happen. If this ridge really sets up for a little farther east than what was shown a couple months ago, then we got some problems in the east. It could be, it's summertime. It's not going to rain every single day. I'm just talking that it may rain a little more than you expect during the course of a week.
Okay. Yeah, you may have, you know, an extra, you know, two or three rainy days per month than you normally would, or, you know, maybe one of those cases where it rains, maybe you get more rain out of a system than you otherwise would.
Right. So maybe some muggy, humid nights as you get into the mid latter part of the summer season. So that's something.
Yeah, mosquitoes.
Oh, jeez. We got enough problems as it is.
That's right.
Mosquitoes coming back. That's all I have today, Joe. I don't have any more to really show. Is there anything that you wanted to bring up today?
No, not this week, but I think something that we'll have to put on the back burner, and I think we should discuss going forward, fire season. You know, I just think with the drought that's expanding, you know, across Texas, there's a lot of red flag warnings from there all the way back into Colorado for today and even into tomorrow. Wednesday, Thursday. I just think that this is something we're going to have to start hitting more and more frequently now as we're into April. We're really into the heart of the growing season. It's getting warmer and warmer. And I just think that fire danger is going to become an increasing issue. We're seeing the severe weather now. We're transitioning out of winter. We're not yet to tropical season. I think we got to start talking about fire season here a little bit more for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to send out a preliminary map to our graphics people this weekend to draw up our wildfire and drought for the summer before we have, we always have our seasonal meetings, folks. And our next meeting is next week about the summer. And we'll talk about it, come up with some ideas, and then put it all together and then present it to everybody else as the month goes on. But I'm going to try and get those maps, Joe, this weekend out preliminary, that you guys can see and take a look at. And then that'll be just in time for us to kind of just discuss a little bit on the podcast next week. So
there we go. So I was thinking ahead of it without even saying anything. How about that?
I'm glad you brought it up because it just, you know, I think that's a good way to go. I think that it is that time. And, you know, wildfire season has expanded in its length. It's changed a little bit. But there are some questions to be, you know, asked on what the season's going to be like based on what we're seeing right now.
Every season's got its nuances and its differences. So we'll try to ferret those out as best we can.
exactly. So let's break it down here, Joe, and we'll get this one out here today.
It's going to be hot in the Southwest for a few days, and then it's going to be a big flip where it's going to get much cooler, you know, starting next week, you know, but I don't think that that's a long-term change. I think it cools down for a few days and then it rebounds again as we get, you know, to Easter and beyond.
Yeah. And more snow in the mountains, especially yep. Northern California into the Northwest. I'm not sure how much in the Northwest, but looks like this system has most of its energy diving underneath this time. But I agree with that. There's still more back behind it. So, you know, if they don't get this one, they'll get more.
And we'll have to see how this all pans out of the Eastern Rockies. I don't know if it gets to Denver or not, but at least there's snow threat north of there into Wyoming and you know, western Nebraska and the Black Hills of South Dakota. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. And there's going to be a big system that comes out of the Rockies and out into the plains next week. Could bring some rain to Southern California. Maybe not a lot, but hey, they'll take anything they can get right now and into the desert Southwest. But that could be the impetus for a big storm in the middle part of the country with, yeah, I hate to say it, more severe weather.
Last month, two systems from a few days out looked like they were going too far. Well, looked like they were going to bring a lot of snow to Denver because they were going in the right direction. Then they went too far south.
Yes.
Denver didn't get as much. This one looks like it's coming right at Denver where it doesn't really snow as much there. So let's see by next week if the trend is this thing goes a little farther south and then they're in the zone to get hit. So it's going to be really close. It's going to be close on them. So
tell you what, that storm next week could be really wild. We're going to have fun talking about that one. Yeah. I hate to say it, there's severe weather, but at least in the east out ahead of it, you're going to get a warm up. Finally, you're going to get a few days where you're going to see temperatures 60s and 70s, maybe even some 80s show up on the map.
I'm with you, Joe. And you know, the line, the cold front, slow, sluggish, severe weather over the Mississippi Valley, South Central Plains. But ahead of it, the lines are all out of the Gulf of Mexico. All that warm air is coming up from the Gulf and right into the east.
Finally. Oh, I'm so excited about this for next week. Just trying to hang on through Sunday.
Just keep that back door a little farther north. Just keep it north.
Yes. Don't
come down.
Yes.
We don't want to see that spoil the
no.
fun. All right.
All right. That's about it.
That's it, Joe. I'm out of breath here. I think we got everything here today. Thanks for listening again. And we will be back next week again. Like Joe said, we'll touch a little bit on wildfire season and what to expect going forward. Not going to get into a lot of details because it is kind of a little bit early, but we're still going to concentrate on areas that are going to be hit. So we'll get to you that next week. Until then, have a great and safe week this week.